Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Lyman Zion on with Bet, about 11 lines from the bottom. The Gemara is beginning. Yotiv Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef achorei d'Rabbi Zeira. So Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, who are contemporaries, are sitting behind Rabbi Zeira. Yotiv Rabbi Zeira kamei d'Ula. And Rabbi Zeira is sitting behind Ula. So this is, in terms of a hierarchy, the Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are in the back, then you have Rabbi Zeira in front of them, and then you have Ula in the front. So Ula being the highest ranking in this hierarchy. So Amalei Rabba to Rabbi Zeira. So Rabba poses a question to Rabbi Zeira, who's in front of him, who he wants to then push the question forward and ask Ula. Vayimine mi Ula. Hidbik mi bifnim. Pirtiach mi bachutz. Mahu. If he sticks it on the inside, and then he heats it on the outside, what's the din? So Amalei. My. Amalei. What exactly do you want me to ask him? Diaminalei, because if I ask him this question, Amarli, he's going to respond to me, Hainu Masei Ilfis. That's the issue of Ilfis, of putting it into the frying pan, which was the discussion of the previous daf, the Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, that we've already discussed, meaning that you're posing a question that has known variables to it, and if we're going to pose that question to Ula, we're not going to get any more information than we know before. So why do you want me to pose this question? So Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef makes another try at it, and he says, Rabbi Zeira, Bamimine Ula, why don't you ask this from Ula? Hidbik mi mifnim, the dough is on the inside, Vavuka kinegdo, and you have a flame that's near it. Mau, what's the din? Amalei, my Amalei. Again, what do you want me to ask him? What exactly do you want me to say to him? Di aminalei, because if I do say something to him, Amarli rovaniyim mosim came. The majority of poor people, that's the way that they cook or fry, that's the way they use their pans. So if that's the case, then there's no benefit in asking the question, because his response is going to result in a situation where we were before, which is that this is Masa Ilfis. And if it's Masa Ilfis, then we had the whole previous Gemara that had that discussion. Again, Machloket, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, and all the opinions that we brought on Daf Lamed Zayin. So Amar Vasi. Vasi says, Isa Shel Maaser Sheni. When it comes to an Isa, Do, of Maaser Sheni, the Divrei Rabbi Meir, Ptura min achala. For Rabbi Meir, it's going to be Ptura min achala. The Divrei Chachamim, Chayevet b'chala. On the other hand, according to the Chachamim, it's going to be Chayevet in chala. Their machloket is a machloket that's found in the Gemara in Kiddushin as to what is the status of Maaser Sheni. Is Maaser Sheni Mamon Hedyot? Meaning it belongs to the layperson, it's the property and ownership of the layperson. Or is it Mamon Gavoa? It really belongs to Hegdesh. So how do we view it? Do we view it as being your property? You own the Maaser Sheni. It just comes with some restrictions, which is that you must eat it inside of Yerushalayim. Or do we look at Maaser Sheni as being Mamon Gavoa, belonging to Hegdesh, but Hegdesh gives you the right to eat it inside of Yerushalayim. As if, and we have a similar idea by the Kohanim, Mishulchan Kavoa, right, Kamachli, that you're eating from the table of heaven. Hashem has granted you the right to eat of his food, quote-unquote, inside of Yerushalayim. So is it Mamon Gavoaz or Mamon Hedyot? So that's a machloket. Rabbi Meir believes that it is Mamon Gavoa, and the Chachamim say, no, it's Mamon Hedyot. So the difference being, therefore, that if you have an Isa Shel Maaser Sheni, if you have dough that is a Maaser Sheni, the Divrei Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, it's going to be Ptura Min Achala. You're not going to have a requirement of Chala because it's not your Isa. It's not your dough. Since it's not your dough, you're not going to give Chala. The Divrei Chachamim, according to Chachamim, would think that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hedyot. Therefore, chayevet b'chala, you're going to have to take off chala because it's yours. It's yours, and therefore you're obligated in giving chala. Now, matzot shel maaser sheni. If you make matzah out of maaser sheni, l'divrei Rabbi Meir, ein adam yotzei ba'yidei chovatav b'pesach. You can't use that matzah on Pesach because it's not your matzah. It's matzah that belongs to Hekdesh, and therefore you cannot use it. L'divrei chachamim, yotzei ba'yidei chovatav b'pesach. According to the chachamim, you can utilize it for Pesach because it's yours. The maaser sheni is yours. Now the last, etrog shel maaser sheni. If on Sukkot you're taking an etrog that belongs to maaser sheni, the Divrei Rabbi Meir en yotzei bo yedei chovato b'yom tov, you cannot utilize that etrog on yom tov because it's not yours. The Divrei Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, adam yotzei bo yedei chovato b'yom tov, you can on yom tov use that to be yotzei the mitzvah. So now matkif la Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks, what's the source for all of these positions? We have three positions over here. One is that Maaser Sheni has this machloket and that impacts on challah. Number two is that Maaser Sheni has this machloket and impacts on matzah. And the third one is that we have this machloket and it impacts on etrog. So now bishlama isa, I understand when you're talking about the isa with regards to chala, tichtiv, because the pasuk says ariso techem. When it describes taking off the chala, it says you take it off of ariso techem, which is a possessive form. The possessive form means that arisa shalachem. It's your arisa. So if it's your arisa, it means it must be your dough. So that would be impacted by this machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as to whether Maisa Sheni is yours or belongs to Gavoa. So therefore, Ariso Techem teaches us Mishelachem. It has to be yours. Etrog Nami. We know by Etrog Dichtiv, because the Pasuk begins, V'lakachtem Lachem. When the Pasuk begins in Parshat Emor, describing the Arbat HaMinim, the Pasuk begins, V'lakachtem Lachem, that you must take. And we darshan from that, Lachem, Mishelachem Yehei, that it must be yours. You must own the Arbat HaMinim. You cannot borrow the Arbat HaMinim, and you cannot steal the Arbat HaMinim. You're not Yotzei if it's not yours. So in those two cases, I understand why the machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is relevant. Ela matzah. What is the source by matzah? Miktiv matzatchem. We have no such possessive form of the word matzah found in the Torah. So why do we have a requirement by matzah that it be your matzah? There's no matzatchem that's equivalent to arisotechem or velakachtem lachem. So if that's the case, what is the source for the fact that matzah is impacted by this machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanim? So Amar Rava. So this happens to be a gzera shava of lechem lechem between chala and matzah, and really has to do a lot with why the Gemara is so involved with chala over here, because they come or they derive similar halachot. Because of this gzera shava between matzah and chala, certain halachot are going to cross between them. And that's why the Gemara isn't interested in discussing chala or so much about chala in this context, because it also has impact on matzah. It says over here, lechem oni. By matzah, matzah is called lechem oni. And it says, by chala, vaya, ba'chochem mi lechem ha'aretz. When you eat of lechem ha'aretz, the produce, the bread of the land. So therefore, malahalan mishalechem. Just like by chala, we know it says, ariso techem, that possessive form tells us that it must be yours. Afkan mishalechem. So too over here, by matzah, there's a requirement that the matzah be yours. But that's derived from this gzera shava. There's nothing written by matzah itself, but because of the gzera shava between matzah and chala, therefore, just like by chala it must be yours, so too by matzah it must be yours. So Gemara says, Lema Mesayale. Let us say that this braita supports this position. Because it says, Isa shel Maiser Sheni tura min hachala. That an Isa of Maiser Sheni does not have a requirement of chala, divrei Rabbi Meir. Chamim omrim chayevet. So in the Chachamim say he's chayav. So Gemara says, Lema Mesaye, why are you saying this should be a support for him? Hainu hach. It's exactly what he's saying. This is exactly what Rav Asi just said before, that the machloket Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim will impact on chala. So hachi kamar, this is what the Gemara means. Lema, midi plige b'isa, b'hanach nami plige. Let us assume that now we found a braita that supports Rav Asi's explanation by chala, that there is this machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and it impacts on chala. Let us now extrapolate and say, just like the Braita says it has application by Chala, so too will have application by Etrog, and also have application by Matzah. O Dilma, Shani Hotam. Maybe it's different by Chala. Tichtiv Ariso Techem. Because by Chala it says Ariso Techem, Trei Zimne. It uses the word twice. It uses the possessive form twice. And since it uses the possessive form twice, maybe that's the reason why Chala must be owned by you. But that's not true by the other items. That's not true by Etrog, and certainly not going to be true by Matzah. So we can't necessarily say just because we see it's true by Chala, that we will then extrapolate that, or assume that the same din should apply to Etrog, because there are differences. And the differences are about exactly this, that by Ariso Techem, the Torah emphasizes that, and says it twice. And by saying it twice, it's telling us that that must be yours. But maybe in the other cases where it doesn't give that type of emphasis, we don't have that same requirement. So, by Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So, Rabbi Lakish asked, Mahu, sheyetzei adam yidei chuvato, bichala, shomaisur sheni, b'Yerushalayim. What is the story with maisur sheni that is also chala in Yerushalayim? So, let's, each one of them independently has an issue. We've already discussed with regards to maisur sheni, what is the status of Maiser Sheni Yerushalayim? So there we had a machloket between Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva as to whether Maaser Sheni can be eaten in Yerushalayim and used for matzah. So that we already had a machloket about. Now, by challah, we just had this discussion as well. By challah, that is also impacted by the machloket of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Now, Rish Lakish's question is he's posing, he's putting the two of them together. He's saying this item is both challah and Maaser Sheni at the same time. Now, why is that impactful? Because, Alibed Rabbi Yosi Aglili lo tibaylach. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who says that Maaser Sheni shachulin, you can't eat for matzah because he has the drasha of lechem oni. Lechem oni with an aleph aninut, and therefore it has to be matzah that you can eat by aninut, and we know maaser sheni cannot be eaten by aninut because it says lo achalti b'oni mimenu. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi Aglili believes that maaser sheni is not good for matzah. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, there's no question. Just because it's chalat, maaser sheni doesn't make it better, it makes it worse. So for sure, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who says when it's regular maaser sheni, you can't use it for matzah, if it's chalat, that's maaser sheni, you certainly cannot use it. So hashta b'chulin lo nafik, by chulin you're not yotze, b'chalotomi by. We have the question with chala, which makes it a worse situation. For sure, we're not going to be yotze. Kitibaylach, the question really is, aliva de Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, darshan's lechem oni with an ayin that aninut, but not lechem ani, but not lechem aninut, then what's his stand? B'chulin hu de nafik, by chulin. If it's just regular maaser sheni, that's your yotze. If you remember, the reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva's position is based on Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that if Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim becomes Tamei, you can redeem it. Since you can redeem it, you can take it out, B'chol Moshevotechem. So now that it has the ability to be B'chol Moshevotechem, that's why you can utilize it inside of Yerushalayim, even when it's not Tamei. Because we say Ho'il. If it became Tamei, you could redeem it. And since that would happen, it would make it Ra'ui to be B'chol Moshevot. Therefore, we allow to use Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So therefore, Yesh Lehem Heter B'Moshevot. Because the reason there is based on Rabbi Elazar that you have the ability to take it at B'chol Moshevot. Aval Chala, if it's Chalat Maaser Sheni, now you run into a problem. Chala has the same din or status as Truma. And when Truma becomes Tmeah, you cannot eat it anymore. Truma Tmeah is restricted from being eaten. It can only get Hana from it. You can only burn it. So now, if Chala becomes Tmeah, it's no longer edible. So your solution to the problem is, okay, if it's Maaser Sheni, the reason I'm allowed to eat it for matzah is because of this circumstance or possibility that it could be B'chol Moshevotechem as if it became Tameh. If it became Tameh, I could redeem it and then take it wherever I want. Well, that's very nice. But what happens when it's Chalat Maaser Sheni? If you are right and you say, well, if it became Tameh, well, if it becomes Tameh now, you can't eat it at all. Because now it's Chalat Maaser Sheni, and the Chalat being Tameh ruins the whole Maaser Sheni. There's going to be no redemption anymore because it's not worth anything. You can't do anything with it. So even Tamile late la heter b'moshavot. Therefore, if it comes to May, there's no redemption and there's no moving out b'chol moshavot. Ulis reifa azla, it's going to be burnt. So therefore, lo nafik. Therefore, you're not yotze. So that's the question here. When Rabbi Akiva says you're yotze with Maaser Sheni, is that only true by Maaser Sheni that's chulin? But Maaser Sheni that is also chala, then off limits. Can't use that for matzah because you can't use that ho'il or that if. If it became tamei, you could redeem it and move it out because that doesn't work here. O dilma, amrinan, ho'il. There is a possibility. Ilo lo kara le shem bitmei, idla heter b'moshavot. Had he never called it a shem maaser sheni, then and become tamei, it would have a heter b'moshavot, benafik ba, and he would have been yotze with it. So hashanami, nafik, so too, over here, he'd be yotze. The question being, basically, if I look at each item independently, if I look at challah independently, challah can be used for matzah. I mean, for the kohen who can eat challah, because we say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that truma and challah are okay for the kohen to utilize for matzah. So challah independently is good for matzah. Maaser sheni by itself is also good for matzah. Now, when I put them together, I run myself into a problem. But the Gemara is saying, but maybe we still say ho'il. Ho'il means that had I never called this maaser sheni, as challah would have been fine. And had I never made this into challah, the maaser sheni would have been fine. So maybe I do say ho'il in that case. And since I could, if I broke this down into its component parts, challah and maaser sheni separately, they could have worked b'chol moshevot. So therefore, when I put them together, we're no worse off. Even though technically I can't get to the same place when they're together, but each one independently is good enough. So that's the question of the Gemara. Or that's the question being posed by Reish Lakish in the position of Rabbi Akiva. Ike de Amre, Some say, ha vade lo tibailach. That's not the question here. The vade amrinim hoil. We definitely say hoil in that case. Hoil, if you didn't make it into maaser sheni, it would have been fine. So ki tibailach, the question is like this. Chala halakuach bekesef maaser sheni. That it's a case where the chala was purchased with money of maaser sheni. Valibe derabanan lo tibailach. According to Rabbanan, there's no question here. Kevin Damrei, if there, Hadainu Maiser. Then the Rabbanan who say that you can redeem it, this is no different than regular Maiser Sheni. Kiti Vailach, the question comes up, Alibed Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Damar Yikaver. In that case, it gets buried. So let's, before we explain this, let's just read the Mishnah where this derives from. Ditnan. We have a Mishnah in Maiser Sheni, which says, Halokuach, Bekesev Maiser Sheni, Shenitma. If you purchase something with monies of Maaser Sheni and became Tamei, if there, the Chachamim say you can redeem it, like regular Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yikaver, you have to bury it. So now, the difference in their opinion derives from the fact that you have two types of Maaser Sheni that can end up in Yerushalayim. There's Maaser Sheni itself that can end up in Yerushalayim, and there's Maaser Sheni that you redeemed onto money, and then with those monies you came to Yerushalayim and you purchased items that now become Maaser Sheni. The machloket between them is, that halakuach b'maaser sheni, how strong is the kedusha of that maaser sheni? The Chachamim believe it has the same kedusha as maaser sheni itself. So just like if maaser sheni itself became tamei in Yerushalayim, we knew from Rabbi Lazar that you're allowed to redeem it, and you can use those monies again for maaser sheni. So too, when you purchase maaser sheni with the monies that you brought up to Yerushalayim, that you can, if it becomes tamei, those food items that you purchased, you can redeem them again. No problem. The Chachamim say it's an equal equation. Maaser Sheni and items purchased with monies of Maaser Sheni are all on the same plane. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That if it's Maaser Sheni itself, it has a higher level of Kedusha. Since it has a higher level of Kedusha, therefore you can redeem it if it becomes tamei. On the other hand, things that are purchased with monies of Maaser Sheni, they are on a lower level of Kedusha. They're on a level of Kedusha, therefore that they cannot be redeemed. They have this concept. We have a concept in Kedusha in both directions. Something's too Kadosh, like Kedusha the goof, it cannot be redeemed. If something is too low level of Kedusha, it also cannot be redeemed. Because the Kedusha doesn't have enough of a standalone aspect to it that it can be redeemed. And therefore over here, if you think the Kedusha is somewhat diminished by the fact that it was put onto the monies, and then the monies were used to purchase this food, they're not going to be able to redeem it. And that is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's their machloket over here. Their machloket is whether something that's purchased with monies of Maaser Sheni has the same status of Maaser Sheni. As the Gemara says, listen, according to the Chachamim, who says they're equal, there's nothing to speak about here, because whatever you could do with Maaser Sheni will be true with things that you purchased with monies of Maaser Sheni, and everything's on an equal plane. And we just concluded at the beginning of this Ika D'Amri, that means that if it's Maaser Sheni that's Chalad that became Tamei in Yerushalayim, you can use that for matzah. I mean, chalat, maaser sheni, can be used as matzah. So it's over here. If you purchase something, it's the same thing. You purchase chalat with money to maaser sheni, that is totally fine. That's number one. So that's the chachamim. But, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where there's a difference in the din, now I have a question. You're right. If it's regular maaser sheni, he agrees that maaser sheni that's chalat, you could use for matzah. The question now becomes, if it's maaser sheni that was using monies of maaser sheni to purchase this chalat, then I have a question, because if this item becomes tamei, you're not going to be able to redeem it. So now I'm missing the ho'il. Now, that ho'il, that if it became tamei, you could redeem it. So now I'm missing this idea that it can be b'chol moshevotechem. So that's how the Gemara proposes the question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, mi amrin ho'il vilo lakuach havi, if it wasn't lakuach, if it wasn't purchased with monies of maaser sheni, v'ho'il. And in addition to that, I would also have to say, v'lo karel ha'shem, and he didn't call it ha'shem truma, v'yitmei, and it became Tamei, Yishlo Heter B'moshavot. So the Tohi, as opposed to in the first time, before we had the Ika D'Amri, the only question was, okay, had he not made it into Challah, then you could have had it when it became Tamei, B'chol Moshavotechem. So we have to say Ho'il once. Over here, I have to say Ho'il twice. I have to say Ho'il, number one, is that he didn't use monies of Maaser Sheni to purchase it, number one. And number two is, if he never made it into Challah, that's Ho'il. In those two cases, had he done neither of those, this dough could have been taken anywhere you want. Therefore, it's ra'ui for matzah. The nafik bay and your yotze. Hashanami nafik bay, therefore your yotze now when it's not. O dilma, or maybe, chad ho'il omrinan, trei ho'il lo omrinan. We say ho'il once, we don't say ho'il twice. We can give you an as if, or if this was the possibility, or if this was the case, we're willing to say that once. we're not willing to double that up and say, well, if it was only the case that you didn't use this Maaser Sheni money to buy this, and if it was only the case that you didn't make this into challah, we'd be in great shape. That we're not willing to say. That's too far-fetched. We're willing to take one step like that, which is to say, look, had you just not made it into challah, or had you just not made it into Maaser Sheni, each independently, we would be okay with. But well, both of them together, and to say Hoyle twice, we wouldn't be willing to say this. So Amar Rava, Mistabra, Shem Maaser Chad Hu. So Rava answers the question and says, Shem Maaser all has the same din. And therefore, even though this might be only an item that is purchased with monies of Maaser Sheni, and according to Rabbi Huda, that's not equal to Maaser Sheni itself, nevertheless, since within the world of Maaser Sheni, we can come up with a case where Matzah is fine, therefore all Maaser Sheni is going to be fine. You're right. In this particular case, or in this particular circumstance, we're not going to come up with a hechitimtza to get it there that it can be utilized. Nevertheless, because there are, within the context of Maaser Sheni, there is times when it can be used for matzah. We're not going to be machmir so much, and we're willing to say hoil twice. We're willing to come up with all of these types of scenarios to get us to the point where this will be okay. And so the bottom line is, it's okay. You can use this Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, despite the fact that in it itself would run into a problem. If it was Maaser Sheni, that was monies of Maaser Sheni purchasing this challah, then for Rabbi Yehuda, it would be burnt if it became Tameh. And the only way to have it Bechomosh with Techem is for it to become Tameh. Nevertheless, we're willing to break it down into its parts and say, well, if we separated out this and we took this out, then it would have been fine. And since there is that possibility out in the realm, out of there, that it could have been okay, b'chomosh v'techem, therefore now, in your case, we'll let you use this Maaser Sheni, and Maaser Sheni is fine for using as, or utilizing as, matzah. Now, Tosafot does ask, well, if you're willing to say ho'il, this concept of saying ho'il should help us out with other items, like bikurim. But what about bikurim? Bikurim, we said, what's the problem with bikurim, or why can't you use bikurim for matzah? Because of this requirement of b'chomosh v'techem. It has to be everywhere, and bikurim have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So why don't you just say, hol v'lo kari l'shem? If you didn't make these bikurim into bikurim, then you would be able to eat them wherever you want. And why isn't that sufficient to allow to use bikurim for matzah? So he says, there's a big difference. Because, shem bikurim enen echal b'chol moshe techem. That bikurim, nowhere. Bikurim are never eaten outside of Yerushalayim. Aval hocha, shem chalan echal b'chol moshe techem. As we said before, if you break down challah and Maaser Sheni into their component parts, each one of them has a shame that is eaten outside. Challah can be eaten everywhere, and Maaser Sheni, if it becomes tamei, could be eaten anywhere, or you could even claim that there's other masrot that are eaten outside of Yerushalayim. So because within their category, we have things that are eaten b'chomosh v'techem, we're willing to say ho'il. But when you're talking about bikurim, which have nothing in their category that are eaten inside of Yerushalayim, we're not going to apply this din of ho'il. So ho'il will only apply where we can find manifestations within this type of halacha that require or allow you to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So here, by challah and Maaser Sheni together, where it's impossible to get them together and have it be outside of Yerushalayim, nevertheless, because ho'il and ho'il, because we find challah and we find Maaser Sheni alone outside of Yerushalayim, I'm willing to say ho'il. Bikurim, which I never find outside of Yerushalayim, I'm not willing to apply this principle of ho'il, and therefore bikurim will always be problematic, even though you could come up with this idea of ho'il over here. We're not going to apply it because we never find manifestations of bikurim outside of Yerushalayim. All right, now we're on to the last piece in the Mishnah. Last piece of the Mishnah is very important because it has implications. I'm not going to get into too much depth with it because the Gemara on Daf Mem actually does this in more detail. So I'm going to skim it, or I'm just going to mention it here, and then we're going to get back to an Adaf Mem, and that has to do with Shmura Matzah, which is here. Chalat Todah v'rikikei Nazir. We said in our Mishnah, if these are the chalot of the Korban Todah, or the rikikim of the Nazir, these are the breads. They're not really breads, they're matzot that are brought along with the Korban Todah, and the matzot that are brought along with the Asham of the Nazir. So those items, if you make them for yourself, then they cannot be used for matzah. If you make them for public consumption, meaning that you're going to sell them to be used, then you can use them for matzah. So Mar wants to know, Menahani Mile, where's this true from? So Amar Rabbo, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ushmartem et ha-matzot. You must guard, you must watch the matzot. Matzah hamishtare merit l'shem matzah. This must be matzah that is guarded. L'shem matzah, for the purpose of matzah. Yatzdazo, these are excluded. Shem ishtamerit l'shem matzah. They were not watched l'shem matzah. Now, as Rashi explains here, what does that mean? Ushmartim et matzod avid le'shmira l'shem matzah. So Rashi has a slightly different gears in the Gemara, but you must do it l'shem matzah. Kol shimur shata mishamra shlo tachmitz. Any guarding that you do to make sure that it doesn't become chametz, hitkavein the shem matzah shel mitzvah. You should do it with in mind that it should be for matzat mitzvah, that its intention you're making specifically to use for the matzah, to be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah on the first night of Pesach, when you have an obligation to eat matzah. Rashi does something interesting over here. He is poseach al shnei asipim. There's a machloket rishonim, and we'll discuss this on daf mem when we get to the din of shmura matzah. What is the din of shmura matzah? Why does matzah have to be matzah shmura? Some of the Rishonim believe matzah shmura is because you have to be shomeret, you have to guard it from becoming chametz. Matzah shmura is simply a practical issue. It's matzah that was ensured that it never became chametz or couldn't have been in the possibility of becoming chametz. That's one possibility. The other possibility of matzah shmura is that matzah shmura is it has to be done l'shem matzah. Everything that you do in the process has to be done l'shem, the matzah that you're going to eat for the chovah. So those are two possibilities about what shmura matzah means. Shmura means shmura, to guard it from chametz. The other possibility is that shmura means to guard it, but shmura in the sense of that you had in mind that this is in particular to be used for the matzat mitzvah. Rashi over here combines the two of them and saying that you're guarding it from becoming chametz. Whenever you do that, you should do it l'shem matzat mitzvah. Rashi in some ways plays both of them and utilizes both of them. I'm not going to do as much detail again because we're going to do it in daf mem. That's the main sugi of shmura matzah. Just pointing it out over here that there is this difference in the opinions of the Rishonim with regards to Shmura Matzah. Ella, l'shum zevach. Over here, you didn't guard it for matzah, but rather l'shum zevach, for the purpose of a korban. So even though technically that shouldn't be problematic because the matzot that you're going to use for the nazir and for the todah are not chametz. Nevertheless, there's something lacking here because you did it l'shem the zevach and not l'shem the matzah. There's some problem here. You're missing some sort of kavanah or guarding that we want. Rav Yosef says, Amar Kora, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu. You have to eat the matzot for all 7 days. Matzah, hanachelet l'shivat yamim. Matzah that can be eaten for 7 days. Yatztazu, shenachelet l'shivat yamim. Excluded from this are these matzot that cannot be eaten for 7 days, eloyom v'laylo. And that is because the El Nazir and the Todah that have these chalot that come along with them are a korban of kodesh. They have the status of, even though they're kodshim kalim, they have a special din that they're only eaten for 1 day and 1 night. And so too, the chalot that are associated with them also can only be eaten for 1 day and 1 night. And we need shivat yamim matzot tochelu, that you must have matzah that can be eaten for all 7 days. And these cannot be eaten for all 7 days because they can only be eaten the yom v'layla. Now, as Rashi points out here, and Tosfot on the previous amud says the same thing, well, what exactly happened here? These matzot only become kodesh and only have this problem of being limited to 1 day and 1 night if they were korban was brought. If the korban todah was shechted or the korban el nazir was shechted, then these breads are limited by the korban. Now, you're going to have bigger problems than that because if you already shecht the korban, these items, these breads can only be eaten inside of a limited space. They can only be eaten inside the azara. And therefore, you're lacking in b'chol moshevotechem. So there's a failure for something else if these are actually breads that are brought along with the korban. So that can't be the scenario over here. And what Rashi says, and again, Tosafot seconds it, is that this is a case where these matzot were intended to be used with the korban, but they are never actually used with the korban. The korban is not shechted over here. But because that's what you had in mind, that causes the problem. And as Rashi says over here, Rav Yosef agrees to Rabba's position. Rav Yosef agrees that you need shmira l'shem matzah, you need shmura matzah. Rav Yosef does not disagree with Rabba, he just says, what type of shmura matzah do you need? You need shmura matzah that you have the intent to be able to use for all 7 days. On the other hand, if you do shmura matzah for simply 1 day and 1 night, or you had in mind for that, that's not sufficient. So Rav Yosef says it's a problem in that kavanah. The problem is that even though it's matzah shmura, nevertheless you have matzah shmura that's going to be used for the korbanot that you only intend to eat for a day and a night, and matzah shmura, which you had in mind, that's going to be good for all 7 days. And that's the difference here. Since you did not do it in a way that it's good for all 7 days, it fails according to Rav Yosef. So even though, again, They're not really limited by a day and a night, but because that was your intent, and that's what you had in mind, that changes your kavanah about the Shmura Matzah. That Shmura Matzah, that intent that you had, was limited because you thought it was for a karban and not for the 7 days of Pesach. So now Gemara says, Tanya Kavate de Rabba, and Tanya Kavate de Rav Yosef. We have a braita that supports the position of Rabba, and we have a braita that supports the position of Rav Yosef. That is, Tanya Kavate de Rabba, we have a braita that supports Rabba, Yochel, it'd say, Adam Chavato b'chalot todar kiki nazir. You would think that a person could use these matzot that are going to be brought together with the karbanot. Tamalomar ushmartem et hamatzot. Matzah, hamishtameret, l'shem matzah. Only matzah that was watched or kept l'shem matzah. Yatzdazu she'en hamishtameret l'shem matzah. Excluded from this are these items that were not watched specifically to be the matzah or the matzat mitzvah, el l'shem zevach. But the intent, when they were watched or guarded, was for the zevach or the korban. Now, Tanya Kavati de Rav Yosef, we have a bright that supports Rav Yosef's position. Yochel Yitzei Adam Yideich Vato Bechalot Todar Rokike Nazir. You would think you could use these items. Tamalomar, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu, Matzah Nechelet Lishiva, that's the Zush, Ene Nechelet Lishiva, Elo Diyom Velaylo. And that's it. This item is something that is not going to be used for all 7 days, but only for a day and a night. And again, the same qualification that I made with Rashi and Tosafot before in the statement of Yosef will apply to the Breit as well. We're not talking about these Chalot that were actually brought along with a korban, because then they would have a problem of mechol mosh votechem. But rather, we're speaking about a chalot nazir and a chalot todah and the rikike nazir that you intend to bring with the zevach, and that's enough to cause a problem here, because you both, according to Yosef, you still need, or according to this bread, you still need that matzah shmurah. But that's mishmurah for matzah that you intend to be good for all 7 days, and that's not what you had in mind over here. Now, V'tipaklei milechemoni. Why don't we learn this out? Right, so that's going to be, what you're asking is basically going to be the conclusion of the Gemara at the end of today's daf. What you're asking is, why can't a person have intention for both? If he has intention for both, it'll be good for both. The answer is, you're right, that is the case. And that's why our Mishnah has a differentiation. That's what the Gemara is going to ask in a second. Our Mishnah brings two cases of Chalot Todah Rikike Nazir, one in which it says it's okay, and one in which it says it's not okay. And the Gemara wants to know the difference. And the difference is exactly what you're suggesting over here. It depends what his intent is. If he has broader intent to encompass both Matzah and the Korbanot, you're right, then it works. And it will work. So the problem here is when he only intended it for the Korban, and then he wants to switch it after the fact to be Matzah, that's when you're going to have a problem. So your question is well placed, and again, the Gemara is going to come to that conclusion in the end. All right, so now the Gemara says, V'tipiklei milechemoni. Why don't we learn this out of lechemoni? Which is, Mishnechal be'aninut. Yatzezeh she'enu nechal be'aninut. Wait a minute. We have a separate issue here. We have a problem of aninut. Maser, which is, Maser she'ni, we say, Lo achalti boni menu. Gemara and Zvachim learns from that a kal v'chomer to kodashim, that kodashim can also not be eaten be'aninut. So here, I have a problem here, that there's a requirement of simcha by kodoshim, and therefore they should be precluded because of the problem of lechem oni, where we darshan it with the aleph, aninut, that it can't be, it has to be something you can eat by aninut, and that's why we, according to Rabbi Yosef Galili, we precluded maiso sheni. Same should be true over here. So, Maiz says, that's no problem, savor like Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't hold like Rabbi Yosef Galili. He holds like Rabbi Akiva. Da'amar aniktiv. Because he thinks that it's ani with an ayin, and the ktiv is ayin nun yud, there's no vav in there, and so therefore without nikudot you would have pronounced it as ani, and therefore he doesn't make the drush of oni, but rather ani. So the Gemara says, okay, even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva still requires that it's lechem ani, meaning that it's a lechem of the poor person, and that means you can't have matzah ashira. You can only have matzah aniya, not matzah ashira. That's what we learned along the way, which is that you can't have matzah that's mixed with honey, wine, shemen, all of these things are considered matzah ashira, and they fail in your ability to use them for matzah on the night of Pesach. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, that's going to be a problem. So even if you say it's lechem ani, let's see here. But typically, davile matzah ashira, these minachot, these lachmei todah and rikikei nazir that come along with the karbanot, you know how they make them? They take flour and they mix them with oil. So that's going to be what we call matzah ashira. So why don't we say that these items fail because they're matzah ashira? Not because anything else. They should just fail because they're not lechem oni, lechem ani. So, Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, revi'it hi, umitchalechet hi lekama chalot. It's only a revi'it of Shem, and it's broken up onto a major chaluk, chalot. So basically, what the Gemara says is that there's a limited amount of oil over here. For a chalot of a todah, there's a chatzi log of shemen that's brought, and then it's split in half. And then you have a revi'ita log for this one and a revi'ita log for this one. So you have two sets of chalot that are made out of this revi'ita log of shemen. So you have, for the amount of flour that you're using for these chalot, you have a limited amount of oil. And so because of that, it's not going to be classified as a matzah shirah, because you have too little oil that's mixed in here. You have a minimal amount of oil, and that minimal amount of oil is not going to bring it into the category of lechem ashirah. And for that reason, we're not going to preclude it for the reason of it being, again, lechem ashirah, matzah ashirah, because it doesn't really qualify. As Rashi says here, you bring a chatzi log shemen for the todah, you split it in half, eser chalot and eser rikikim, and then chetzio de revucha, and then the other half goes to the revucha. So first of all, in the case where there's 20 units, 20 chalot get one quarter of a log, and then another 10 chalot get another quarter of a log. So you're dealing with limited oil for a lot of flour, and by nizirut, you only start out with a revi'it of shemen, and that goes for the 20 chalot that are brought along with the nazir's korban. So there's just a limited amount of oil for very many menachot, or very many chalot or rikikim here, and therefore we're not going to classify it as being matzah ashira. So now the Gemara says, okay, but typically, deino nechalot b'chol moshvot. Why don't we say the problem here is that it's b'chol moshvot techem? So Amar Reish Lakish, zot omeret, chalot todah rikikei nazim nechalim b'nov u'b'giv'on. From this you can conclude that the chalot todah and rikikei nazir are eaten in Nov and Givon. Right, this goes to a Gemara that is at the end of Zvachim, the last perek in Zvachim, which deals with what happened in the historical nature of the Mikdash, the Mishkan, and the Bamot. Bamot are Mizbechot that a person can put up in his backyard, and it can be Makriv Karbanot, wherever he feels like and whenever he feels like. There were certain periods of time in Jewish history where that was Mutar, and there are times in Jewish history where that was problematic. It has to do with the Mikdash and the Mishkan. It has to do with the Pasuk in this week's Parsha that we just read, which was that you have yet to reach the Menucha and Nachala. The Menucha and Nachala, the Gemara in Zvachim Darshan, it's Machoka there, which one referring to Mishkan Shiloh, which one's referring to the Mishkan, to the Mikdash. But what it tells us is that number one, before the Mishkan is placed in Shiloh, Bamot are Mutar. From the time they leave the Midbar and enter into Eretz Yisrael, for those 14 years, 7 years, that they do kibush, v'chiluk, and the other 7 years of the distributing and allocating the property to the Shvatim, those 14 years, you're allowed to have bamot. Once Shiloh is put in place, the bamot are surot until Shiloh is destroyed in the time of Eli HaKohen. That no bamot are allowed. From the time the Mishkan Shiloh is destroyed, bamot are again once more mutar. You can have these private karbanot in your mizbechot in your backyard until the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Once the Beit HaMikdash comes along, then again, private karbanot are out, and the Mikdash becomes the center, and there's never again heter bamot. That's it. From then on, the Mikdash is the only place. So when, basically, there's a central location where Hashem Shekhinah is present, and you have to bring the karbanot there, you cannot bring karbanot anywhere else. So one of that place is Mishkan Shiloh. The second one is Mikdash. And those two places preclude by bamot. But that means in between them, there were heter habamot, you were allowed to bring bamot. Because the Gemara in Zvachim says that once the Mikdash was built, the Heter Bamot goes away. Meaning that there was Menucha and Nachala. Why did it separate out Mishkan Shiloh from the Mikdash? So the Gemara there says to give a Heter between them. But that's only between them. But once we have the final stage, which is we reach Nachala, or according to Menucha, depending on which opinion there's no more Heter Bamot. It's only because the Torah delineated Mishkan Shiloh and Mikdash separately was there a Heter Bamot in between. But because after the Mikdash, there's no delineation, that becomes a permanent status, and there's no more babot anymore. You're not allowed to bring a baba without the Mikdash being there, without the Mizbeach being there in the Mikdash. Well, it depends. I mean, that certain types of karbanot can be only eaten in the Azara. Certain things have a requirement that they're only eaten within the walls of the Azara. Other things have a requirement that they're eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. So when it comes to Chalot and Rikikei Nazir, They are kodshim kalim, and since they're kodshim kalim, they can be eaten in the entire Yerushalayim. So the answer is yes, they could take them home and eat them, and their wives and their children were entitled to eat from them as well, because they're eaten throughout Yerushalayim. It's in Ezu Mukaman, which you say at the end of the Karbanot every morning. Over there, it speaks about the fact that the Todavel Nazir and the Shlamim are Kodshim Kalim. They're both Kodshim Kalim, and they're Nechalim, the Kohanim, but they can be eaten by Cholayir, and they can be eaten by anybody in the Kohanim's family. So that is the case. So then they could be taken home, but home only inside the walls of Yerushalayim. And that's the Gemara's question over here. What happened to Bechol Moshevotichem, the ability to eat the matzah anywhere? That's not the case here. You can only eat these within Yerushalayim. Gemara's answer is because of Nov V'Givon. Nov V'Givon is the place where there was a central Mizbeach from the time that Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed till the building of Yerushalayim. It's in Nov for a long period of time till Shaul destroys Nov Ir HaKohanim. Once Shaul destroys Nov Ir HaKohanim, then the Mizbeach moves to Givon and is there until it's brought up to the Mikdash in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Those are what we call Bamot Gidolot. They are central Bamot. So the Gemara in Tzvachim discusses this idea, Bamaktana and Bamagdola. Bamagdola Katana is your backyard Mizbeach, where you can bring a korban in your backyard. You want to have some meat, you put it up on a Bama in your backyard, and you have a roasted meat that you can eat from this Bama. Bamagdola was a central Bama where the Tzibur, where the Kohanim were, and where the Tzibur, quote-unquote, did their Avodah. The Gemara there has a machloket about what is mutar with regards to a bamaktana and a bamagdola. The basic principle with a bamaktana is that you can only bring things that are nidar v'nidev, things that you can bring as a neder and a nidava, and that basically limits you to an ola and a shlamim. Those are the only things you can bring on a bamaktana. Bamagdola, you can only bring things on the bamagdola that have a chiyuv, or obligation, shekavulahem zman, that have a fixed and permanent time. So things that are kavulahem zman and have a fixed and permanent time, those can be brought on the Bama Gdola. Now the question is, where do Todah ve'El Nazir fall into this category? Now, in one sense, they are Nidar v'Nidev. You can have them brought voluntarily. You could be bring a Todah voluntarily. And a Nazir, you can enter into a Neder Nizirut voluntarily. Now, there are those that argue, are going to disagree over here because, for instance, number one, there are no such thing as Menachot can be brought on Bamot. And since Menachot can be brought on Bamot, the Chalot here are considered to be Menachot. They're a subset of Menachot, and therefore they can't be brought on a Bama. In addition to that, it's not so clear that these are voluntary offerings. Maybe even though the Nizirut may be voluntary, once you are a Nazir, the Karbanot are obligatory. And since there are obligations that Shaloka Volem's mind, you cannot bring them as Karbanot. So that's what Reish Lakish says over here. According to this, it must be that in Novin Givon, you could bring a korban todah and a korban nazir, because otherwise you can never get to this point where it's b'chol moshevotichem. If you say that todah el nazir are never allowed to be brought during the time of Nov Givon, that means we never find a time where the todah min el nazir can be eaten b'chol moshevotichem. Because as long as the mikdash and mishkan are around, you're limited to the Mikdash is inside the walls of Yerushalayim, and the Mishkan is b'chol ro'eh. You have to be able to see the Mishkan, but otherwise you can't eat it outside of that. On the other hand, the Gemara tells us that when it came to Nov V'Givon, that things that were kodshim kalim, that normally are eaten inside the walls of Yerushalayim, in the time of Nov V'Givon, they can be eaten b'chol arei Yisrael. They can be eaten in any city in Israel. If that's the case, now I came up with a case where Todah ve'el Nazir can be eaten b'chol moshevotichem. That is in the time of Nov and Givon. And that's what Reish Lakish is suggesting over here, which is on Reish Lakish, Zoto Merit. From this, you must conclude that Chodol Todah Urkekei Nazir Nechalim B'Nov Givon. They were obviously eaten in Nov Givon, because otherwise we'll never find a manifestation of B'chol Moshevotichem. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Eli, Sha'alti Rabbi Eliezer. I asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'ushi Yitzei Adam B'Chodol Todah Urkekei Nazir. I asked them, what's the story here? Can I be Yotzei with these items? So Amali, Lo Shamati. I didn't hear this. Ba'ati V'Sha'alti Lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. I went and asked Rabbi Yeshua the same question. Right? Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are contemporaries. And he goes and asks Rabbi Eliezer and cannot get an answer. So then he goes to Rabbi Yeshua. So Amar Li, Harei Amru, Chalot V'Todah Urkekei Nazir Shasan Natsmo, it's our Mishnah. If he makes them for himself, Ein Adam Yotzei Behem, then you're not Yotzei. You cannot utilize them for Matzah. Limkor B'Shuk. On the other hand, if you made them to sell in the public marketplace for people to use for Todah and El Nazir, Yotzei Behem. that then you can be yotzei in them. So you see here that todah bel nazir, here's your answer. Can you use them or you cannot use them? Our Mishnah tells you. If you made them for yourself personally, great, then you cannot use them. Whereas if you made them for the shuk, if you made them for public consumption, then yes, you can utilize them. So now, Shabbat, if you had said to the Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar says, I went back to Rabbi Elazar after what Rabbi Yeshua told me, and I repeated for Rabbi Elazar what Rabbi Yeshua told me. Amar li brit. Brit means like a shvua. Hein, hein, advarim, shenemru lo, the Moshe Mitzinai. That's such a good answer. That's such a great response. That's as if it's Allah the Moshe Mitzinai. We don't have to ask any questions on it. It's self-understood that this is what the answer is, and this is the proper halacha. That's one way. Higadam, right? This is how he responded. Some say this is how he responded. Brit? Hein, hein, advarim, shenemru lo, Moshe Mitzinai. As a rhetorical, yes, as a question. He didn't ask it as a, make a statement. And a statement, a laudatory statement, which said that basically, wow, that's a great answer by Rabbi Yeshua. But rather, wait a minute. Rabbi Yeshua's answer just tells you information, but doesn't give you the reason. And that's what he's saying here. Hein hein advarim shenemru lo, Moshe Mitzinai. This is like a halacha Moshe Mitzinai, which basically is the equivalent of gzeirat hakatuv. When we have a halacha Moshe Mitzinai, we don't ask what the reason is. That's the Mesorah, and that's the way it works. There's no questions asked. He says, what, you think this is like a halacha Moshe Mitzinai? We don't have to ask for an explanation for what the reason is. The lo taima bai? You don't have to give me an explanation why there's a difference between whether it's made for personal use or whether it's made for public use. Why is there a difference between them? So the Gemara now itself asks, but taima mai? Okay. What, that's a nice question. That's an interesting question that Rabbi Elazar is posing. Let's try to figure out the answer. What's the answer to that question? Why does our Mishnah differentiate between when you make them for yourself and you will make them for the public consumption? So the answer is, Amarabba, kola shuk imluche mimlach. If it's made for public consumption, then he makes it with the assumption that this, Amar, imizdabin, mizdabin. If I'm successful at selling them, then whoever gets them will use them for todah, chalot todah, or the rikike nazir. Vilo mizdabin. But if I'm not successful at selling them, ipik buhu ano. Then I myself will utilize them to be yotze for matzah. So that's the answer to your question, David, that you asked before. Basically, what the Gemara is suggesting here is when you make it for public consumption, you have this possibility or a risk that it will not be used. And since you have that risk that it won't be used, the person has in mind to say, listen, either it's going to be for someone else's karban, or it's going to be for my matzah, because he doesn't want it to go to waste. And since he doesn't want it to go to waste, he's going to have both aspects in mind. And that's why it works. On the other hand, when it comes to making it for himself personally, he knows he has to bring a chalut todah. He knows he has to bring a rikike nazir. He is someone that knows that he's chayav in this korban. So when he has in mind to make them for the korban, that's exactly what he's intending for. The korban. He's going to use them for the korban because he knows he's obligated and he doesn't have any safek anymore. And in that case, he'll only have in mind to use them for korban, not to use for matzah, and he'll be lacking in the kavanah or whatever shmirah we need, the shem matzah, whether it's a shmirah to shiva, or it means the shmirah, the shem matzah, or it means shmirah from chametz, whatever the need of shmirah is, will be lacking because you don't have that aspect when you do it for your own personal use because you think it's going to be used for the korban and you don't come up with a backup or an alternative usage. Whereas when you do it for the public, since you're uncertain of selling it, you cover all bases. And covering all bases, you have in mind for both of them. And David, that's what you asked before, and that's the answer. That the answer is yes. If you have in mind for both of them, Eino Chanami can be used for matzah. And that is the conclusion of the Gemara. Okay, we'll stop over here.